Welcome to the Managing Screen Time Without Screen Time video course. I'm really delighted that you're here because, like you, I've also experienced the techno tantrum. And I think as parents, we're worried, naturally worried, about how much time our children are spending with screens. Is it too much? Is the time that they're spending encroaching and having harmful effects on their development? So in this video workshop, I want to arm you with facts, not fears, about screen time. How much is healthy for your child? How much is too much? How do you calculate what works for your children or different children of different chronological ages? What do we need to know about screen time so that we don't need to feel guilty, worried, or fearful about the time that they're spending with devices? So I'm thrilled that you're here and able to invest the time. Remember, you don't need to consume the whole course at once. The whole idea of a digital workshop is that you can press pause, deal with children, come back to the video at a later date. I want to just give you a quick overview of what we will be covering. So I'm going to start in the workshop. Module one is the introduction, where I talk a little bit about how much time kids are spending with screens, I guess just to make you feel better so you don't feel like your child's the only one attached to digital devices. I'm going to explain also about how we're using screens as adults, how we're tethered to our devices, and why kids are using screens. So we have a bit of a background understanding about what screen time is, and to also remind you that screen time isn't always toxic and taboo. Unfortunately, technology is often demonized, and we often demonize screen time, and it's not all harmful. So I'm going to give you some insights into what can be really healthy, helpful, and even educational time spent with screens. Then in module two, we'll talk about why kids need limits. We all know that kids would be tethered to their devices. They're like their digital appendage, and they would literally have them with them or be using them most of the time if we let them. So we definitely need to provide limits for our kids. And I guess this leads into the third module, which is all about techno tantrums. Why do our children turn into monsters and get very aggressive, upset and distressed when we ask them to switch off digital devices? So we'll first and foremost understand why they're having these techno tantrums. How do we deal with them when they do have the techno tantrums? What are some strategies that we can put in place? But most importantly, how do we prevent them? What can we do to prevent the onset or the likelihood or even the severity of the techno tantrum? Module four is all about what are the current government recommendations. And I'm going to share what they are, but I'm also going to share with you why I don't endorse them. And instead, what I do is lead into module five, where I actually help you. I apply a formula and give you a really simple formula so that you can actually go about calculating safe amounts of screen time based on your child's needs, not on their chronological age. The current guidelines prescribe screen time limits based on how old a child is, and there are a couple of reasons why I have a problem with this, and I'll explain that in module four. And module five, how do you set safe limits, remembering that kids definitely do need limits. And the last module, module six, is all about practical strategies. How do I manage screen time on a day-to-day basis without it ending in tears and tantrums, not only from your child, but sometimes from you too? So I hope this is a really practical workshop. Please, as I said, go through it piece by piece, revisit bits, and I'd love to hear how you go. Thank you.
So this video workshop is broken into six modules, and in module one I'm going to introduce the idea of screen time and give some contextual information. Why is screen time and managing screen time important? Why are our kids so tethered to devices? Why do they find it hard to switch off? And then we'll dive into the subsequent modules. So in this module, I want to introduce the idea of why our kids are experiencing digitalized childhoods. They seem to be born with a digital appendage. They love using touchscreen devices, but we have to be really mindful that this time with screens has an opportunity cost. In fact, any time spent with a screen can displace other activities that children are engaged in. So we need to make sure that they're, first of all, that their screen time is worthwhile, that they're actually spending time on age-appropriate and developmentally appropriate activities, and secondly, that their screen time isn't superseding or replacing other really important opportunities for their health and well-being. So I'm hoping that this module will address your pressing concerns and provide you with information. So why are kids so consumed by devices? And I often want to say, well, as adults, we are tethered to our devices. We're living in this screen-obsessed society. We're in love with our glowing screens. In fact, the term glow faces has even been used to describe us. And in this picture you see on the screen, here are a group of adults who are at a rock concert who are experiencing the moment secondhand via their smartphone. We now have a condition called FOM, fear of making memories. And the idea is that as adults, we are so tethered to our devices that we don't want to miss a real moment. So we're capturing it to our smartphone's camera roll in many instances. It's really quite ironic because we are actually a generation that are the most connected. We have a wealth of information at our disposal and can communicate digitally at the click of a mouse button and with a few keystrokes. But we're also the most least connected at the same time. We're not having real relationships and real interactions with people. We're constantly consuming information. We're checking our phones as adults about 150 times a day, and we're consuming the equivalent of 174 newspapers of data every single day. This is changing our attention spans. It's impacting on our memory. There's only so much cognitive capacity that we have. So it's impacting everything that we do. We're suffering from infobesity, that idea that we're drowning in information. And we're also suffering as adults from nomophobia, the fear of not having our phone. You know, the moment you pack the kids into the car and you head to school drop-off or to work, only to realize you've left your phone on the bench. We're also suffering as adults from phantom vibration syndrome, where we feel like our phone is ringing, but it's nowhere near our physical body. So, you see, it is totally changing how we behave as adults. So I don't think it should be surprising that our kids are obsessed and really fascinated with technology too. As adults, one of our greatest fears we now know is, or some of our greatest fears in the modern world is the 1% battery symbol, the no Wi-Fi signal, the spinning wheel of death. And this is prime evidence that we're very reliant. I'm not saying addicted, but we have very strong attachments to our technology. So I don't think it's then surprising that our kids find it so hard to switch off. We're really not sure what to do with white space and idle time anymore. A really interesting study with some adults that was published in the Journal of Science looked at what we call the challenges of the disengaged mind. And basically, as adults, we struggle to cope with boredom. We struggle to cope with idle space, white space. In this particular study that was published in the Journal of Science, participants were asked to sit alone in a room for up to 15 minutes. They had no mobile phone, no reading material, no music, absolutely nothing to entertain them or to save their own rambling thoughts. Afterwards, many of the subjects reported that they found it really difficult to concentrate and they actually really didn't enjoy the experience. Then to assess how much the subjects disliked doing nothing, the researchers then repeated the experiment. Only this time, they gave the volunteers the added option of occasionally giving themselves a mild electric jolt. Here, wait for it, 2/3 of the men in the study and 1/4 of the women chose to take advantage of the electric shock option at least once during their time out. It really shows us how we've become dependent, not addicted, but dependent on our digital devices. We're afraid to be bored, and our kids can potentially experience the same sorts of childhood if we don't teach them about the power of unplugging. You see, as parents, and this is a really timely reminder and something I'm not professing to be proficient or perfect at by any stretch of the imagination, we're really concerned about our kids' screen time, and rightly so. We have to make sure that it's not eroding their basic needs, and we'll uncover that in this workshop. But we often overlook, perhaps we choose not to acknowledge, but it's sometimes our screen time that's a real problem. We need to think about that our kids are inheriting our digital behaviours. Thanks to something called mirror neurons, and these are some cells that run along our child's motor nerves. Basically, this is why our kids are born to emulate us, why they copy all of our worst habits, or perhaps our partner's worst habits. And we do know that our kids are emulating our digital behavior. This is why we've got babies that can tap on touch screens very quickly and know what to do. We've got kids that become very proficient with these devices. So if we're modeling unhealthy relationships with technology, it's highly likely our kids will too. And we know it's not always even using a device. Sometimes just having the smartphone on the table while you're talking is enough to change the way we interact in our relationships. A study by psychologists at the University of Essex found that the presence of a phone on a table, even if it was turned off, made those people sitting around the table feel more disconnected. It kept the conversation lighter and more focused on topics which had little controversy or consequence because they were fearful of being interrupted. In her book, Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age, Cheryl Turkle talks about parents who are not stepping up to the role of mentoring and having conversations with their kids. She also acknowledges that kids need to be bored because boredom is the gift for their imagination. If a parent is always going to their phone in moments of boredom or solitude, there's no model. So when they have boredom, it's only natural that they want to fill their boredom with technology. We have a wonderful saying that nature abhors a vacuum. We recently moved into a new house and we were landscaping the backyard. We weeded the whole yard and really didn't get round to planting new plants in time or in a timely way. And what happened? Within a couple of weeks, our vacant backyard that had been stripped of all the weeds started to grow little pockets of grass and other weeds. And the same thing happens with kids. We want to fill up the space with something rather than teaching them to be idle. So this idea of what I call technoglect, that we're sometimes as adults not modeling the right behavior, and it's having a severe impact on our kids.
I thought you said no tablets at the table.
Yeah, just give me a minute here.
Can we please have a dialogue?
I gotta get this thing. That was a birthday party.
We'd be gardening.
You have to send me some pictures.
You're not even listening to me.
How was your week at school?
We did all kind of
talking. Look, you know, it's a good time. Perfect.
So as that video clearly showed us, it is sometimes our use, our screen time that is problematic or just as problematic as our kids. A study by the technology company AVG found that nearly 35% of children felt that their parents used screens more than what they should and that it was having an adverse impact on them. So there are potential benefits, but there are also potential harms if we're not getting this right. And it's not only our use of screens. Screen time is a broader issue now. It's also how grandparents, babysitters, schools, childcare providers are using screens. So we have to come up with firm boundaries and parameters around how we want screens used with our kids. So how do I know what's healthy and helpful screen time as opposed to what's harmful? In these examples, I think you'll see very quickly that children can form some really unhealthy relationships with screens and that screen time can quickly become problematic. This is a true headline, but some teenagers were so needy for their screen time that they actually drugged their parents with sleeping medication so that they could have access to the internet overnight. Now, this is obviously an extreme example, but some kids are so dependent upon technology that they will go to very extreme lengths to access it. I'm seeing really common examples in Australia as I go around and talk to parents where children are waking up in the middle of the night so that they can access online resources that their parents would otherwise not allow them to access to. Not only is this having huge implications on their sleep, but also on their mental health because they're often accessing things that their parents don't want them to see in the middle of the night. There was also a story from China where a father was so concerned about his son's screen time use that he actually hired a virtual hitman to kill off his son's avatar. This is an avatar is a file picture in a virtual world. So his son was spending inordinate amounts of time on this online virtual world. So this particular father said he began playing the online games in school and his grades started to deteriorate. So his father put a job on an online job board like Craigslist, hired a virtual killer, gave him the child's profile picture, profile name, and insisted that he be killed every time he enter one of these virtual worlds just because this man saw how problematic his son's gaming was. We've also got issues when we're marketed. This is one of the problems. As parents, we're told we need to be dunking kids in the digital stream at a young age, that they need to get ahead. And a lot of these claims are actually false marketing, and they're very misleading claims. They're not grounded in their science, in any science, in fact, but they're prying on parents' vulnerability to provide the best or to want to provide their best for their kids. As a parent, I look at the iPoddy, and I just think toilet training and touch screens are a no-go combination. But we're under increasing pressure to constantly digitalize childhood. We've now got, you know, baby toys. You go into a baby store and many of the toys are now battery operated. We've got phone replicas geared towards young children. So this is really problematic because we don't need to be prematurely dunking kids in the digital stream. So why is it that we find it so hard to switch off? Why do we get the techno tantrum? And we'll explore this more in the techno tantrum section, but I want to just provide an overview. You see, when we're using technology, it's really hard to switch off. There are four main things that happen when we use technology, meaning that it's really tricky to turn the off button off. First of all, our brain is releasing the neurotransmitter dopamine, and this means that the reward system in our brain is activated. Now, this reward system in our brain isn't as easily or as instantly activated in nature or in the real world. When kids use technology, they also enter what we call the psychological state of flow. So they become so immersed with what they're doing that their whole concept of time disappears. We also have a phenomenon called the state of insufficiency. In an online world, there is no full stop, last paragraph, end of chapter. There is no finite finishing point. And the online world also offers what we call novelty. Our brain is primed for constantly seeking novelty, new information, and the online world caters for that need. So it's really hard for our kids and also for us to switch off technology. So does this mean kids are addicted? Just because they don't want to turn it off or they struggle to turn it off doesn't mean they're addicted. I think we use that word addicted too loosely. I'm not suggesting that kids aren't addicted to technology. I think that some children, particularly children over 8, can in fact be addicted to technology. What instead I think I see happening is that children are forming unhealthy attachments to technology. You know, as adults, we're forming often in many instances unhealthy relationships. We're feeling compelled to check our email constantly. We're checking social media first thing in the morning. Now you understand why our brain's craving that dopamine. We're seeking novelty and there's that constant state of insufficiency. But I don't believe that our young kids are necessarily addicted to technology in most instances. We have to teach our children how to manage and how to form these healthy relationships and have good amounts of screen time. So, how much screen time are children having each day? This is to allay some of your fears and your guilt. The first statistic I want to share is based on old data. It's about 3 years old at the time of recording this. So in 2013, the average 0 to 8 year old was spending just shy of 2 hours a day with screen media. And in the same year, a similar survey looked at 8 to 18 year olds and they were using about 7 hours and 38 minutes of screen media a day. This is a significant proportion of their time. A 2016 study found that today's tweens, so our 8 to 12 year olds, were spending 5 hours and 55 minutes a day out of school time and not including homework time using technology. This did include media multitasking. So it looked at, you know, they might be watching television for half an hour and at the same time listening to music for half an hour and responding to messages on social media. So that would accumulate for an hour and a half of total time. But that's still 5.5 hours outside of school time is a significant amount of time with screens. So it doesn't mean that this volume is all unnecessary, and it doesn't mean that this time is wasted or unhealthy. But we do need to make sure, again, it's not erasing or eroding important opportunities for their other basic needs. And we also need to make sure that that time is actually worthwhile. So in 2015, again, this is to allay your fears and your guilt about how much time your child spends with a device, 18,000 young children were surveyed about their technology habits, and they found that 56% of the children that were surveyed were spending more than 2 hours a day using technology outside of school, and that 1 in 10 children said that they spent at least 4 hours a day out of school using a screen. Again, a significant amount of time, but we need to unpack and look at what they're doing in that screen time, whether it's educational, is it learning, is it leisure, is it age appropriate, is it violent or pornographic content, and then looking at what this is displacing. Obviously, children, particularly young children, have limited waking hours, so we need to make sure that their screen time isn't displacing other really worthwhile activities. I love this quote by Warren Buckleitner. It really talks about technology being a positive. It's a bit like fertilizer. Use the right a little bit and the right type and the plant will blossom. Use too much or the wrong type and you'll actually burn the plant. So we need to really teach our kids these healthy habits. We need to start from a young age. The minute you hand your smartphone over to your toddler is the minute you need to start talking about screen time and healthy screen time. I like to think of a tree. Justin Coulson used this analogy once and it really stuck with me. It is really easy to move a very young tree. You plant a tree in your backyard and it's just not the right spot, and you decide a couple of months down the track to move it to another location in your backyard. You can dig it up, transplant it to another spot, a sunnier spot in your backyard, and chances are it will thrive, it will survive. You can move the plant relatively easily. Wait a couple of years, the plant's much more established, and it becomes a different game. It's a lot more costly. The chance of the transfer being successful are reduced. It's very time consuming and difficult. And the same thing holds true with technology and young children. We've really got to teach children from a young age how to form these relationships. So over time, it's not a really difficult situation for us to monitor as adults. I want to reiterate, and I've said this a couple of times now, screen time isn't necessarily bad. We need to obviously look at what they're doing with screens. So not all screen time is created equally. We need to consider what they're doing with the screen and what it's replacing or what it's superseding. Not all screen experiences are created the same. For example, are they using screens for learning or leisure? Are they swiping at fruit or are they trying to solve problems? Are they engaged in conversations and meaningful tasks, or are they being digitally pacified, watching, you know, mindless videos, etc.? We need to make sure that they're actively involved. Are their minds switched on or switched off? What's the value add? We also need to make sure that they're really active as possible. There are vast differences between a child sitting there being passive and a child being actively involved whilst using screens. Most importantly, we need to pause and think about why are kids using screens? Is it for leisure or learning? And just because an app or a website is classified as educational, don't necessarily believe the claims. A lot of developers are keen to market their product as educational. They know it eases parents' techno guilt if they're downloading something that's marketed as educational. Over 80,000 apps in the App Store are in the education category. They don't necessarily meet educational criteria. In most instances, an app or a website can be considered educational if it doesn't consider inappropriate language or links to inappropriate content. there's not necessarily a validation process which apps and websites and software go through to determine their validity. The next thing we need to consider, why they're using screens, is the screen being used as a digital pacifier? Are we looking to digitally sedate our kids? Do we use devices in restaurants just to calm them down? We really need to make sure that we're not always doing this. I'm not here to say that you should never hand over a device to your child. I've done this. I've used digital sedation. It sounds quite severe. From time to time, but I certainly don't do it all the time. We need to make sure that our children learn self-regulation skills, and they can't do this if they're constantly pacified by a screen. We need children to be bored, frustrated, upset, not to be placating them with a screen. Are we using screens because of the pressure to keep up? There's increasing pressure, particularly on parents of young children, to dunk them in the digital stream really early on. But fears that children will fall behind if they're not tapping and coding by the age of three just aren't founded. There's actually no research evidence at this stage to say that prematurely that introducing screens early on has long-term educational merits. And the fourth reason, as I alluded to before, is this marketing pressure. Parents are being told that we've been given a whole lot of misleading neuromyths, like the Fisher-Price activity seat that is told, the marketing claims suggested that it would boost your child's letter, shape and number recognition by using particular apps with your 6 to 9 month old. Completely inappropriate for young children. So there are mounting concerns for pressure. I want to just point out what my three key messages are in anything that I talk about. If you've heard me speak before or one of my other digital workshops, I come back to these three B's when it comes to raising kids in the digital age. And that is, we have to make sure that their basic needs aren't deteriorated, that we're not damaging their basic needs. We have to make sure we have boundaries about what screens they can access, when they can access them, and for how long they can access. And we need to balance. Childhood's a really precious time. We need to balance their online time with their offline time. I want to finish this part of this module with this quote, because some of the information I may share with you may cause you to feel upset. You may not have been aware of some of the information. And I love this Maya Angelou quote. "I did what I knew how to do. Now that I know better, I do better." Please don't feel guilty if I'm presenting you with information that you are completely unaware of. Much of this is foreign information to parents. But please know that once you have this information, it's up to you what you do with it. We're going to dive into module two now. And we're going to start to look at why kids need limits. And I think this is quite an obvious reason, but we'll explore why they need limits so that we're better equipped to deal with the techno tantrums that we'll explore in the third module.